Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio presents Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with your hosts, Rudolph Muhammad and Yusuf Muhammad.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on home. All you need is faith to hear the dealers calling. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan. Coast to coast, faith is the key. Open the doors and bottom, there's hope for all among the most.
Blessings in the name of the Most High God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness there is but one God, and beside him there is no other. We thank him for Moses and the Torah, for Jesus and the Gospel, for Muhammad and the Holy Quran. Peace be upon these worthy servants of Almighty God. But I could never thank Almighty God Allah enough for his merciful intervention in the affairs of men. In the person of Master W. Far Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. Thanking him, and we can never thank him enough, for finding one and raising one in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the two of them leaving with us in this dispensation of time their chief helper. He is the exponent of excellence and the criterion in human form in the person of the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In those three great yet humbled names, I'm honored to greet brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, here on another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the language of our ancestors. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Thank you, sir. And for those in our listening audience who may be unaware of that greeting, it simply means in English, peace be unto you, and unto you be peace, which we are also taught is actually a prayer delivering one to another. And in times like these, I think we'll all agree we're in need of peace. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, a program that comes before you every week on Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Certainly, we welcome our first-time listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Our consistent and constant listeners, welcome, welcome, welcome. We thank all of you for the honor of your ear. and the privilege of your presence. We do not take your time lightly. We just are eternally grateful for the opportunity to share with you what has come through our screen in the past week since last Friday. And for those who've been in tune with our program, you know we've been dealing with various aspects of mental health. And today we'll pick up where we left off by Allah's grace and mercy. So I'm your co-host, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. I'm going to get out your way and let our dear brother, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad, welcome you in the way. Almighty God is ordering his steps and making firm his feet. And then we'll move on with the program. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Yusuf. Beginning all things in the name of the Most High God, the grand architect of the universe, as he's called. But I don't care what you call him, just call him. He is the great I am that I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the all in all. He's all of that, as they say, and a bag of chips. You know, he is the one who is responsible for your and my existence here on the planet in this dispensation of time, responsible for all that was, is, and ever will be. That great one, man, we can't thank him enough for all he's done. I don't care what your life is like. There's something that you can find to be thankful for because he poured out blessings amongst us. And even worthy of it. We've done nothing to be worthy of the grace and mercy that Almighty God Allah has showered upon us for however long we've been on this planet. So we thank that for doing that. We thank him for appearing to us in the person of Master Fard. Thank him for traveling over 9,000 miles to seek and save you and I, who were lost. We were lost in the abyss of time. Nobody came to get us, but he came himself to retrieve his property. And we are God's property. Make no mistake about that. At least I know I am, Brother Yusuf, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know, so we thank Almighty God Allah for coming to rescue us from the hell in which we were enslaved in, being ignorant, blind, deaf, and dumb to the time and to the knowledge of God and what must be done for our salvation. We thank him for raising one from our midst. He came right here to the geographic location where I happen to be at now, Detroit, Michigan. He came to Black Bottoms, Detroit, and he raised up one, and we know him to be the exalted Christ. Yes, his name is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we thank both of them for not leaving us comfortless, friendless, guideless in this dispensation of time. Both of them back the one that is on the scene today. We're talking about the heavyweight champion of the world in terms of freedom, justice, and equality, and truth, telling truth to power. None other than our little brother, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So in those three great names, I greet the family of Muhammad, the well-wishers of Muhammad, the supporters of Muhammad, and even those detractors of Muhammad. We greet you in the greeting words of peace and paradise of As-Salaamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, you know, I'm really excited. Well, I'm always excited, brother, when we can get on the air and do our show because, one, this is our way of trying to show the God that we are grateful for all he has blessed us with, and we are trying to reach back and help someone else to come up a couple of rungs on the ladder. I know that, right. You know, I didn't fall off of no cloud, Brother Yusuf. I know I didn't. I know I was not born the way I am now. I know that and I'm not saying that I have arrived, but I know I am not today the same ignorant fool that I was yesterday. And for that, oh, my God, I want to thank God for his grace and mercy. Yes.
That's right.
You know, I thank him for my wife. I thank him for my family. I thank him for the life that I have. Because if it wasn't for him, where would I be now? You know, Brother Yusuf, back in the church, you know, we used to sing this song, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need a revival. It said, be very sure, be very, very, very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Well, in the scripture, we're told that Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. You know, let me stop, Brother Yusuf. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to turn it back over to you and just say welcome to the family, and I'm looking forward to the show. We have a guest on the line already, and you know what? Let's bring Dr. Akili on right now and let him introduce himself first and just give a little of his background. Then we'll go into the housekeeping rules, and then we'll get ready to just unload. This way it will give the people a chance to get their eyeliner pencil or their crayon or whatever it is that they use to write with and find a clean spot on the wall or the refrigerator to write, Brother Yusuf.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Rudolph. Well, let me just start off by saying that our guests and our guests are so beautiful. They both have hearts of healers. Our dear brother Dr. Akili G. Muhammad, he's a graduate of Meharry Medical College in Nashville, Tennessee. He also started his residency in Houston, Texas, and I believe he resides there as well. So I'm going to fall back and just thank Allah for you, Dr. Akili, that you would take time out of your busy schedule to come on this week's edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And suffice it to say, I forgot that he's the CEO of the Ultimate Wellness Group. Let us welcome our dear brother, Dr. Akili G. Muhammad. Welcome, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, brother, for having me. I'm humbled and honored to be amongst you, brothers, in the great work that you are doing. Pray that Allah guides me to say something that the listeners deem is worth hearing. Just one correction, bro. Everything was beautiful and on point, except I moved to Macon 3 years ago, so I live in Macon, Georgia now.
You did tell me
and
that.
Inshallah,
that's right.
Enough about me. Let's get into whatever y'all have. Any questions where I can help out, please.
Praise be
yes,
to Allah. I'm going to let Brother Rudolph carry the majority of the questions, but if I could just lay a baseline assessment, I'll get out the way because, you know, as Brother Rudolph was inspired to come up with this week's subject, our mental health, is there a remedy, a therapy, a treatment, a cure? I wanted to, you know, do a little research because those words oft times are used interchangeably, but then I wanted to see what was the difference just from the definitions I had gotten. I first went to the World Health Organization, Dr. Akili, and saw how they defined, and they said health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So then I looked up the word remedy, something that cures or relieves a disease or bodily disorder, a healing, medicine, application or treatment. That pretty much was the noun. And it wasn't too much different it being used as a verb to restore to the natural or proper condition. Then I looked up the word therapy, the treatment of disease or disorders as by some remedial, rehabilitating, or curative process. Then I looked up the word treatment. Care, by procedures or applications that are intended to relieve illness or injury. The management of someone or something. And then I looked up the word cure, a means of healing or restoring to health. There go the word remedy again, a method or a course of remedial treatment as for disease. That's the noun. The verb is to restore to health, to relieve or rid of something detrimental, such as an illness or bad habit. So I just wanted to lay that as a base for our listening audience based on the little research that I did. Dr. Keeley, what do you think? Am I right in saying sometimes these words used in our subject matter today are interchangeable, or are they different? And if so, the floor is yours, brother. And I'll let Brother Rudolph carry it from there.
Yes, sir. First of all, I think that that is an excellent introductory to the conversation, my brother, because many times we don't even try to get our minds wrapped around what we're talking about intentionally and specifically. And so many times that's why we don't have the ability to assess the results that we think we're getting, because we don't even know what we're measuring. So I would say that all of the different words that you use and defined were perfect, because that's the way I would look at them. The only thing that I would add to that is Brother Akili's definition of good health would include what you said, but at the beginning, I would say, as instructed by the Supreme Being, who we call Allah, because there are so many people out here with so many different ideologies, philosophies, but at the end of the day, the results that they get aren't worthy of using the term good health. They're not worthy of using the term healing, because people are walking out of some of these so-called experts and some of these people who think they know something. And in 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years down the line, these medical problems are returned, sometimes worse. And many times you can't even find this so-called expert anymore. You can't find their YouTube channel. You can't find their website anymore. So at the end of the day, we need to all challenge ourselves. You know, regardless of our religion, regardless of our background, challenge yourself to assess the person that you're getting information from and use your common sense, use your education of being in this world, use your experience and evaluate whether this person is coming to you with worthwhile information, and then always check on them. If there are other people you can ask, if there are ways that you can assess the results that this person is producing, I think would be very wise.
Beautiful. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I'm going to go. I see what you put up there, and I'm going to add something to it. You know, that World Health Organization definition of health, if we go by that.
No, but don't put me on now. Oh, Lord. Okay.
If we go all by right. that, then I don't know who's healthy, because I don't know anybody whose physical, mental, and social well-being in this day and time is not in a state of repair, or
yes,
could
sir.
Be deemed that it needs repair. You know, so I opt to go with the definition that our brother gave us for health. And he said that when a thing functions in accordance with its aim and purpose for life, it's said to be healthy. We also have Sister Dr. Tissa Muhammad on the line now. I think she's in queue. She's listening. She's I know she's chomping at the bit, ready to get into this this discussion. And so I want to bring her into it as well. Dr. Tissa, if you can introduce yourself to the family, and if you can weigh in on this question as well.
As-salamu alaykum. All right, yes,
sir.
Wa alaykum salam, man.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I didn't mind sitting down listening because this is a very interesting conversation for me, you know. I just did not want to be disrespectful, Brother Rudolph, because you have asked me to come into this conversation for several weeks, and I did not, you know, I didn't want to be negligent in my duty in doing that as well. Yeah, so in terms of who I am, for those who may not know, I've been a natural practitioner since 1993. I was raised in a drugless household. Additionally, in ancestral lineage, they were always midwives and what people would call medicine men and medicine women. So we have a long lineage of people who've been engaged inside of those types of things, you know, that kind of lifestyle. And quite frankly, currently I have, since 2004, been registered as a natural doctor, or a doctor of natural medicine. So that's what I'm currently doing right now under my company of Phoenix Rising Wellness Institute. And I raised my own children, I have seven of them, to be in their own sense in regards holistic practitioners. Yeah, so I teach my babies, since they were babies, how to, because that is the secret that we all have to have, is how to heal ourselves, especially because that is knowledge that has been hidden from us in this Occidental, meaning Western, society. You know, this is the old way. The way always was that you knew and understood how to take care of this trillion-year-old vessel, right? And now, of course, in Western medicine, because of us being brought over here through forced labor and a whole bunch of other deceptive, intelligent things that we have suffered through, that knowledge has been hidden from us and that power has been taken away from us. So my personal mission is about being a physician, not a doctor. I don't want to cover it up. I want to be a physician on this, meaning a natural philosopher who will teach the people how to take this knowledge and help them to heal themselves. That's my entire mission through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank you, sir. That's about it. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Now, Brother Yusuf, you gave some great definitions to those. And Brother, I have to say, when this title came to me, Brother Forrest and I were on the phone and we were talking, and I had said it one way. Brother Forrest is the one that actually, my brain, to come up with this by asking, by changing something that I had said. So then when the rest of it flowed out, I didn't even think about it the way you just brought it up and broke it down by parsing the words. I was merely asking questions because in our, especially in our communities, we're so fragmented sometimes that we use, like you said, various words interchangeably. And depending on the school of thought that you come from, you know, it will determine how you see that word and how you're going to go with it. So I wanted to talk about a remedy, a therapy, because a lot of times people shy away from using the word cure, especially legally. But, you know, remedies is an old world concept. Therapy is another older concept that denotes not one specific thing, but a few things may be going on at the same time. And again, when we're talking about our mental health, because of who we are and all that we've been through, we haven't just been through one situation that you can pinpoint that would cause us to be spinning out of control and thinking one particular way. We've gone through the gamut of things, and so we've been turned out 20 ways to Sunday. So, mm-hmm. you know, there is no one answer for or solution for the complex problem of us in this day and time. So that's why I wanted to come at it from with using those different words so that we can see how what we can bring to the table that everybody can take something off of the table to begin to work on themselves to get them one step closer to being healthier than they were before they encountered us or this program or this information. So that's where this came from.
Brother Rudolph.
Yes, ma'am.
And excuse me, Brother Yusuf, I don't know if you were going to answer or respond to him. I can wait.
No, go right ahead, please, sister. Doctor.
I have
sister?
Right. You have me thinking about something as you're speaking.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
I'm currently teaching in natural medicine with practitioners at this stage. And one of the ideas, and I can't say I came up with it because it was really inspired through this teaching and everything else and the study of self. One area that we have been delving into is called, and it's been, the term has been coined, you know, well, a few times by our people, but I'm getting into this whole concept of post-traumatic slave disorder. A woman by the name of Dr. Joy Degree, you know, Leary, she talks about this whole idea. Now, when I'm in our training with these practitioners, the thing that I'm focusing on, because the majority of these practitioners who are training and studying with me at this time, they are all our people, right? The original people.
Right.
And so I said to them, well, I could easily begin where I was taught, you know, in where we begin, which is Western medicine. So we begin with Hippocrates and we go through this. So we touch very, very lightly on Eastern medicine. Even in natural
right.
medicine, we focus on a European, you know, sort of Renaissance view of medicine, right? And then we delve
right.
into some, you know, those other areas. But I said, I'm sorry, because of the way I have been taught through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I got to go beyond. So in some of the areas that we have been delving into, I've been exposing them to these concepts like the post-traumatic slave disorder and syndrome. And we are studying the language, mm-hmm. studying the teaching that has been given regarding our people. We're studying human classification, very important, because whenever you walk into the doors of a hospital or a clinic, that, you know, Brother Rudolph, those definitions sit over your head. When I was studying midwifery, they told us that black women don't have pain, that it's all
right.
a performance for their husbands
right.
or their boyfriends, because they don't get any attention at the house. So when they are in labor, they milk attention because they want their man to hug them because they don't get that type of attention. This is what's being taught. They also taught us that we have under-functioning nerve endings, right? So when you go in saying, look, I got a back pain and it's shooting up my leg and I'm in horrific pain, they'll say, calm down. You're just, you know, you're overdoing it. Because they have been taught through these specific concepts that we do not feel nerve-ending pain because in the Caribbean when they were doing experimental, right, medicine,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
they would have the black people on these plantations, sugar plantations. If they wanted to amputate, they tested and studied us. And they would actually have us hold and grasp our limbs with two hands, no liquor, no nothing, and saw off your limbs. And the reports that they were writing in these various books were that we did not have any pain. You understand me? They were taking our babies from us and selling them, and they said we didn't show any emotional attachment. You understand what I'm trying to say? And there's a whole lot more. They said that our lungs were not functioning at the same level as white man's lungs, because even though they might talk about Lucy, okay, they still in the back of their minds fall into the belief system given by people like Linnaeus, right? Right? Von Linnaeus, telling us that, you know, when you look at us, this is how our bodies operate. And when you look at them, well, you know, the superiority of mankind and the origin of mankind came from white, because even the bones are white. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So yes, ma'am.
We first, in terms of mental health, we got to get down to the origin of the fact that we have already come into a system that has been taught the complete opposite of who we are and the lies. So when you go in thinking you're going to get any kind of medicine beyond what they have offered us before, you are not getting anything superior to what is offered, because it's already based under race classification. You're never going to get the right type of pain medication. You're never going to get the right kind of attention or anything until, Brother Rudolph, we come into the understanding, like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, that we have our own hospitals. We're the only ones who have enough empathy and sympathy for one another, because we know have pain. We know we suffer. We've seen the suffering of our people, right? But other people don't expect that, because they have not changed this. This is still present to this day. A black man goes and gets hurt on the job, his time off is less than that of a white person. They naturally cut his time. You're going to have to come back into work within 3 months, whereas he gets a whole year off.
I bear witness. Yes, ma'am.
They say that black people must work sun up to sun down because it keeps our minds from wandering and getting emotional. You think I'm joking? This is written.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
So we talk about mental health. We got to get into the origin of how we are looked in this society. And unless we have our own functioning society, we're never going to get any justice regarding our health. Thank you. I want to say that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tisha.
Dr.
You mean to tell me? Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Keeley.
No,
I just want to say this. And Dr. Keeley, you know, thank you for your patience. I thank you, Sister Dr. Tissa, for sharing that, and it made me think of, you mean to tell me today still a white man's heaven is a black man's hell? Come on. You for real? No, but I just wanted to say we've also been joined by our dear sister, Sister Chantel. Muhammad is on the line as well, who's a natural practitioner, and, you know, she was a wonderful guest on our program a couple of weeks ago, so... I'm going to fall back. Dr. Keeley, feel free to share. And I don't know, I want to be respectful of everybody's time. So I don't know who has what amount of time. And if anybody has to go, we certainly want to hear from you more in the beginning for those who may, you know, have the opportunity to stay longer with us. So thank you, Dr. Keeley. The floor is yours. Keeley, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. Blocked off my schedule to be here the whole time, so I'm good.
Beautiful. Praise be to Allah.
It's amazing. You know, I haven't talked to my sister in a while, and it's amazing how the God we serve has us on the same page, because as you were making your comments, Brother Rudolph, I was thinking that the white supremacy that is the undergird of every system in America. My sister just gave some examples of that proof. Medical Apartheid is another book where you can get much of that proof.
Go ahead.
But at the end of the day, we allow ourselves to take on European concepts and wonder why we can't heal. So when somebody comes to you and they tell you you have a blood pressure problem, and you watched your grandmother have a stroke, you watched your grandfather die after his stroke, you watched your auntie walk around with her leg dragging behind her for 15, 20 years before she died, you were just murdered in that doctor's office. I don't give a damn what the color of the person is that gave you the information. You were murdered mm-hmm. because of the fear that you had of that medical problem, and now somebody sat and told you that you had mm-hmm. the same problem, and there was no compassion with the diagnosis. So we have to start taking control of ourselves as black people, brown people, red people. When we go into the doctor's office, why would you check my blood pressure when I've never met you before? I've never met your nurse. I'm already anxious because I don't want to be here, and I don't know you people,
mm-hmm.
and I'm afraid of the information I'm going to get.
That's right.
So you take my blood pressure, and I just drove through traffic. I'm worried, may have had an argument with
That's
my husband.
Right. That's
may
right.
be in some situation where I'm already in an anxious state. And so you take my blood pressure and give me an inaccurate measurement, because you should never mm-hmm. take a person's blood pressure after they have an accident. You should never take a person's blood pressure after they had an argument with somebody. You try to find a person in the most calm situation to give them accurate information. So
right.
when we start talking about I have a heart problem or I have a – no, we got to stop thinking that way. That's the first thing, is we have to murder the desire to depend on a system that never meant for our well-being, as my sister eloquently put together. But the other aspect is that we have to put ourselves back in control of our health. So when somebody decides to say something to you that makes you feel less or makes you afraid or makes you feel like, oh, I have some impending doom now, you allowed them to mm-hmm. murder you in between your ears, and the body is going to follow. And so that's a major aspect
right.
that we have to start growing into, because the subject matter tonight about mental health, it starts with God. If you as a black
mm-hmm.
person can look in the mirror and know that we were made in the image and the likeness of God, but damn it, you don't look in the mirror and want to be like no damn white person.
That's
unless
right.
you want to walk around with a weave and your hair. I'm not knocking anybody. You got your hair permed or you got your hair straightened. But if you truly knew yourself, you would look in the mirror and say, damn, I look like the originator. I look like the person that created all these trees and the sun and the moon, the moon, these mountains. You start
Beautiful.
Growing in confidence within yourself, because when you look in the mirror, you look like the original person that made all of this. And that starts to grow you in a dysfunction, to relieve yourself of the dysfunction of some people that have been around for 6,000 years, and in their minds, everything started with them. That's
Come
why
on.
When you listen to white people talk, they'll say things like, the earth is 6,000 years old. Nigga, when?
Come
hell,
on.
Your young white self gonna come tell some black people been here for billions and trillions of years about when something started.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is just bring up a few facts, bring up a few of these wonders of the world, and you'll shut that madness down immediately. But the point that I'm getting
mm-hmm.
to, brothers and sisters, is see, if you know the truth about God and you know your history, you can murder white supremacy in your head every day. And every day you're growing into a stronger black person that loves yourself. And it's very
right.
unlikely, if you have these type of truths within yourself, you would be committing suicide by stopping at a fast food restaurant.
Mm.
Or shortening your life by going into a grocery store thinking that the people at the grocery store made that for your benefit. So there's a lot, you know, when it comes to our mental health. Yes, it can be solved. There are many ways that we can solve it. There are many aspects of it that have to be solved. But at the end of the day, my sister is right on point. We have to first reject the system that was never made for you, meaning that we have a man that came and gave us something new. So when
That's
you align
right.
yourself
on.
With that, you grow in a comfort that Allah gave
That's
you
right.
something that is indestructible, inconquerable. And when you practice it, you become the example of health. And everywhere you go and everybody that you're around, other than when you're at something like Savior's Day, but every time you go around people and you interact with people that don't have this, they know something's different about you. Damn, I never
right.
had
mm-hmm.
to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, you look so – somebody told me the other day, man, you don't even look like you're out of your 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I had never
Praise
told him how old I was. You see what I'm saying? That's the way God's reality is in comparison to the evil world that we live in. Much different and much simpler.
Come on, Brother Keeley. That's right. Oh, Lord.
Sister Chantel?
Oh, yes, Chantel.
Yes, sir. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
Waalaikum salam, man.
That you were on the line. We want to hear what you have to say, sis.
Yes, sir. I really enjoyed listening to Sister Tisa and Brother Dr. Akili. She brought up a really great point about, like, you know, if a black man get hurt on the job, you know, that can turn detrimental. It's the same thing with black women. Black women in the mortality during childbirth is extremely high. Infant and mother mortality is extremely high. And even just like if the mother is working, most of the time she doesn't get proper time off of work. 55% of black women are taking unpaid leave to take care of their baby or babies. And the 38% just don't take it at all. And also, you have acupressure. I think we need to start studying different types of natural modalities instead of just relying on the American Medical Association system, which was started by Rockefeller. So I think, like was stated, we need to get away from the system altogether. I know it does in certain instances has their benefits, but again, we have for centuries, since the beginning of time, you know, been healing ourselves naturally without harming ourselves on any level. Something as basic as eating, you know, we're nourishing ourselves. But what are we nourishing ourselves with? Most of the food, especially if you're into packaged foods, fast food, you name it, they're putting maltodextrin into the food for extending shelf life and for better taste. But that maltodextrin is primarily comprised of GMO corn. And that GMO corn, the glyphosate, have been found to break the blood-brain barrier, causing Alzheimer's and dementia, just eating away at the brain. So we got to be mindful of every single part of our lives, everything, especially the food that we eat. From my standpoint, coming from How to Live, I truly believe everything stems from the inside out, starting with nourishment, with what we take in, beverages, food, conversations we have, things that we watch on TV, music we listen to. Whatever we feed ourselves from our mind all the way on down makes us who we are. We can be other than self, or we can come into the knowledge of self. And it's up to us. I do want to make one more point. Back in the 70s in New York, I found this so intriguing. Led by Dr. Mutulu Shakur, the Panthers and the Young Lords, they got together to combat the heroin addiction that overcame the Bronx.
That's correct.
And other parts
That's
of New
right.
York.
Right. That's
and
correct.
They use acupuncture and acupressure.
That's right.
Amongst other natural modalities. But those are the main two things that they use.
That's
they
right.
even took over a hospital.
That's right.
That's right. Lincoln
and a lot
Hospital
of those,
in the Bronx.
Drug addicts
That's right.
got cleaned
Come
up
on.
And got into the movement.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. Auricular acupuncture.
Yes. So I'm like, you know, they utilize mouth, they tongue, barefoot doctor concept. Here we are in 2024. How are they in the 70s, it seems, to be more advanced than what we're doing today?
Come on. Oh, sister, brother, can I make a point? Y'all got me jumping out of my seat. you know, no, and you know what? Let me tell you something, sister. So I'm telling and brother Dr. Achille, I thank Allah for the experience that he has given me with the mentors I've studied under. I had the honor of working with Dr. Layla Africa, Queen of Four. I've worked with Dr. Paul Gott. May Allah be pleased with those who have passed, you know, and working. I did not deal with Dr. Sabi, communication with his family, but I never dealt with him directly. And I will explain why in terms of certain things. But the main point of what I wanted to make was my mentors dealing with those particular people. They studied under the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want to make it real clear. So right now, the foundation that has been laid in terms of natural medicine, the trend, as one would say, began with the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad with people who were in the ranks. They were part of the Nation of Islam, all of these people who I'm making references to. You understand me? And then as time went on, they moved into other areas. Now, what I want to say about Dr. Layla Africa and the conversations he and I had, because he worked really closely with my company for several years. We were doing classes. We had actually helped to graduate hundreds of students throughout the United States and Canada with the Phoenix Rising Wellness Institute under the natural medicine program he had. Now, mind you, I went to school. I studied all these years natural medicine. And when I graduated, I still needed to go and run tests. Okay, I had to go and sit down with people in an intake, and then run a test, send their test in. Then I'd have to wait for like 2 weeks or whatever it was, do a follow-up and do an assessment on the test and then do their treatment protocol and program based on that test, those tests. When I went to Dr. Layla Africa, it took me three training sessions, three intensive weekends. The fourth one was our graduation. And after I finished training with Dr. Layla Africa, may Allah be pleased with him, in 2005, I graduated. I didn't need any testing. I didn't have to send tests off. I literally could look at people who would come to me, different patients, and I knew exactly what was wrong, and I could put that on paper. And then in addition, I knew exactly which herbs to use, the protocol to follow, where to begin with that small information known as African holistic medicine, right? Interestingly enough, when I study, like our sister was talking about, the auricular acupuncture and these other areas, what I have found is that people have gone in their own way, like Dr. Sebi, for example. May Allah be pleased with him. He had taken the teachings from the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, but he turned it into his own thing. So instead of using bean pie, he would tell his people follow and, you know, make chickpea pie. He took this particular teaching a little too far as I'm concerned. He said anything grafted from original is devil. I recognize this was given to us by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, but I do not believe it was in regards to these plants, like he was going through this history and saying, well, this was grafted, that was grafted, don't eat this. So all these people, oh, I don't eat this because it was grafted. Listen to me. You go and you study ancient Egyptology in ancient Kemet, trust and believe. All the fruits, vegetables, the animals, the cultivation of animals. The West right here where we are now was an experimental site for animals. If they did not particularly like the animals, according to one of these brothers, the older ministers under the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said they used to blow them up, okay? Right here, they would blow them up if they didn't like the nature. You understand what I'm saying? So this ancient Egyptian or Kemetic knowledge and wisdom of doing genetic splicing. Look at our brother who went and created the, you know, not created, made the white man, you know, Yaqub. All of that stuff came from the temples. They had that information in Kemet as well as in Timbuktu in Mali.
Teach.
Right? They understood how to do that. And you know who we are? We're the people who migrated from those ancient temples and went off into the West Africa, the Western African coastline, ancient Egyptian place. We were the priests and priestesses who, according to Dr. Minister Ava, may Allah be pleased with her, she said it wasn't a religious order. I heard Mother Taneta Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with her, make this same statement. It was not a religious order, priests and priestess. It was the fact that when you oversaw a particular house of science, whether it was agriculture, whether it was
marriage, beautiful,
whether it was human, animal husbandry. You in yourself innately had some sort of love for this. You understand what I'm saying? And in your love, it was so sacred, the sacred knowledge of that thing, that it was a priest and priestess who oversaw it, a male and female mindset that gave it the proper balance and order of understanding the science of that particular study. So we are actually those who originate, who have been made from those people who came from those ancient temples, and that is a known fact. It is now coming out who we are. So like the minister said, they didn't go and get no tree swingers, right? They went particularly to those particular places that we migrated to, and they extracted us from that area because they knew, and we saw it in the movie, right? We saw it in the movie, Hidden Figures. They just gave the sister a concept,
right?
And she went into her mind, took an ancient form of mathematics, and was able to chart their course to the moon safely. Think about that. Now, of course, they focused on the black woman, but might I please shine some light on the brothers who were there working in NASA as well? One of them, Dr. Carol Barnes, the brother who wrote, I know he doesn't refer to himself as a doctor, but he might as well, Melanin, the Chemical Key to Black Greatness, right? He was one of the ones who actually helped them to create the synthetic melanin that wraps the spaceships and the shuttles so they can break through that 6-mile
right
area. You understand me? It was black men who were there who were utilizing the voice of Willie Johnson, blind Willie Johnson, one of the first country singers, right? Because it did come with us, country music. They used his voice for these satellites. They used the voices, the melodic tones of the Temptations, Michael Jackson, and others in order for them to break through the barriers. They don't play, you know, Bruce Springsteen whatever. They're not playing them to break through that barrier. They use melodic tones of black men.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
that's right.
To break through the barrier into that blackness, the ethereal realm known as the atmosphere, known as the universe, a womb-niverse, right? That is us. So I know they're talking about our sisters. My mother is one of those hidden figures. May Allah be pleased with her. A mathematician and scientist, used to work faster than the calculator, sitting down, calculating all her groceries down to the taxes, you know, when we got there. And I'd be embarrassed because it's like, damn, you know, shoot. I was so proud of her when I got older. You understand me? Because that's us. They know who we are. So I understand the need to keep us down. End of the day, in order for us to get the results, and I could say it in my own profession, may Allah continue to bless me with that insight. When you lay everything on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you don't stray, you stay solidly on this firm resting place, you will get all of the results that are necessary. Because all those ancient sciences, all those ancient techniques, we must be utilizing them in order to bring about that spirit of healing that is innately built in all of us. But we have to go to the origin of that and find that food, find that vibrational frequency. And it's not hard. How do you to live? That's what it's all about, vibrational frequencies that are tuned up to a certain type of charge, right? When you eat the lower vibrational frequencies, your mind is in the gutter. The messenger gave us the highest vibrational frequency by God himself in the person of Master Farad Muhammad in that book. That's the book written by God himself for us, you know, in order to bring us to a certain level of thinking and healing, you know, and we have to go back to the origin of that in order to get to the origin of all of the healing because it is already here with us through the coming of Master Farad Muhammad. He came to give us life, family, and give us life more abundantly. Thank you, family.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Oh, my gosh, that was wonderful. That was beautiful. It just, when you were talking about how the all this is in, it's who we are. It's not ingrained in us, it's just who we are. We're one with the universe. Because, you know, we had our sisters was out there in the cotton fields chewing on cotton roots. that cotton root was a natural form of birth control. The white man was like, how come you're not producing babies? Because, you know, we got tired of seeing our babies being killed and sold and whatever else they did to us. So a lot of our women chew cotton root as birth control. And then you mentioned the music to break the barrier. And, you know, with us, we are vibration. And we are, what, 75% water. So, and like she said, how do you live? It's high vibration food. And I just posted about how, you know, the Master Muhammad, through the messenger, he teaches that we don't eat or drink anything all throughout the day. It's regulated to one time, that one time per day. And high water content food and vegetables, that's just mainly your fruit and vegetables. And bean soup, which is primarily water. So I'm like, oh my gosh, she is speaking my language. Thank you, sister.
Well, because we're under the same father, sister, and that's the difference with what this world is. They are speaking from their father, who is the devil, who is a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. You know,
mm-hmm.
And we're coming from what Allah Himself has given us. Praise be to Allah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Brother Dr. Keeley, you want to build on what we just heard, big brother?
Well, I would just like to add to my sister. I didn't know the background of Layla O. Africa. I read his book before I got into How to Eat to Live, and I have heard of and actually considered at one point in my life Dr. Sabi, Dr. Layla O. Africa, and Sister Afua all to be mentors of mine. And my sister just helped me understand that Sister Afua and Dr. Layla O. Africa got their beginnings in How to Eat to Live. I did not know that. I suspected that, but I had no proof. I sat side by side with Dr. Sabi on a four-hour plane ride from Houston to Philadelphia and talked the entire way. So I know for sure he started in How to Eat to Live. My consideration is that all of them deviated. I don't mean that to put any disrespect on any of them, because that's not my point. My point is what I started with, right? Our subject matter tonight being our mental health and how do we maintain it in these times that we're living in. I happen to watch a YouTube channel that I would suggest everybody follow called Rage of the Earth. And this sister she gets videos from all around the world where there are major weather catastrophes occurring. So as we know, the time of judgment is not coming. The time of judgment is here for those who do not listen to the minister and do not follow the teachings of Al-Walaj Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. I don't mean to say that as if we're superior or anything. That's not the point. The point is that when you look in the scriptures, there has been much miscommunication and misinformation of black people because it was kept from us for so long. When they decided to give it to us, they formulated it in the way that they wanted us to know. And so I'm saying that there's misinformation and that all of us should understand, regardless of our background, because regardless of what we call our God, we should be able to look around the world and see the examples of what it says in these books that we read. They're happening in everyday life. And so when we decide on a plan on how we're going to make it through these times, the greatest and the most beneficial way is to go back to the author of all of these things from the beginning. And so we've already classified that that was a black man who was with a black woman that produced everything from that. And I might add that if you are listening to this show and you have dark skin, you have to start murdering the white supremacy in your mind that makes you think that as a dark-skinned person that you're not qualified. You are qualified at the highest level. The darker the skin, the better the ability to heal. The darker the skin, the better physical ability. The darker the skin, the more mental ability. So So there's nothing that a dark-skinned person should ever look at anybody lighter than them and don't think that you can't accomplish that and much more. Now, why is that relevant? Because as God starts to tear apart this world, if you are concentrating on the God that you serve and you know the truth of the God that you serve, then you believe you have a way out. And if you don't, then you will suffer the worst kind of mental illness. And so I'm saying that not to knock anybody, but Dr. Sadie, Dr. Leo Africa, and Sister Dr. Afua, they have programs and they do very good for people. But as I said at the beginning in my first statement, you have to be able to evaluate what it is that you accept and bring into your life. And so it would be very important for us to do the type of research on what Dr. Sadie's program produces, what Dr. Layla O. Africa's program produces, and what Dr. Afua's program produces. And the reason why I can say this is what Brother Akili put himself through. When I started reading How to Eat and Live, as a physician, I'm in my career now for 7 years, and I know I was taught a lie. I know that what
That's
I learned
right.
in medical school wasn't the best information. And I had a background similar to my sister Tisa. My parents were trying to teach us how to eat correctly. We were called weird eaters when we were coming up as little boys. I didn't even like to show people my lunch because my lunch was always different from everybody else's. I ain't had no sorry chips and no peanut butter
That's
and jelly
right.
sandwiches. My mother used to send us with quality food.
That's right.
But the point that I'm getting to, brothers and sisters, is that it don't make a difference how beautiful the person speaks or how wonderful their website is or how nice their presentations are. The quality of the results that they are getting is what we have to grow out of this emotional reaction to things and start assessing using some wisdom, some knowledge, and some understanding. And so I'm suggesting that we go to Rage of the Earth because when you start looking at what's happening all over the world with these floods and this massive snow and these areas that are having worse weather-related incidents than ever since they've been recording weather, tornadoes are occurring in places that have never seen tornadoes. This is the God at work. And you have to get yourself in a mental place where you know the information that you're getting is quality and will lead you away from winding up being succumbing to that type of reality. And that's why I always suggest to people, it don't make a difference what your religion, you need to listen to the minister. I don't know anybody else from a faith-based perspective that tells their congregation to watch the weather. And if you're not watching the weather, you are going to get surprised one day. And if there's a flood right. running through your city and you think you can get across that water, you got a great surprise coming for you and your lungs are going to be filled with water. So I'm saying that because, brothers and sisters, we really, the three of us have said a lot. But ultimately, you have to take information from this program today and do the best you can to find a program that you can sink your heart, mind, and soul into and have confidence that you will make it out of what is going on in this world. And I can sit here and say that it's the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that changed the way I practice medicine. It was the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and How to Eat and Live that changed the way that I got results and got the fervor and the desire back in medicine. I was ready to quit it. And so when I sit and I think about all the lectures, all the words that I've heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister say, I know that I've seen the majority of them come true. And many of them I knew it was true as soon as it hit my ears. But if there's anything about it that I haven't seen come true, I don't totally understand my faith in it, it's because there's so many things that they have told me that I can rely on, that I know I have something that I can rely on no matter what. So my mental health, inshallah, is in a good place because I believe I'm going to make it through all of this to see our enemy's world die and to see black people get free and to see the way we're talking tonight, we won't go into a future where that's the reality. We will not go into the future and we think that our skin color is a problem. We won't think that we're second-class citizens. And we won't have no ignorant fools trying to tell us that we don't feel pain. God damn it, you crazy. You even open your mouth to say something to a black person like that. But this is the reality of how these people think. And
that's
so
right.
When you come around the Nation of Islam and we call them devil, stop getting emotional. Devil is a scientific word. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is 1,000% scientific. The word devil means grafted out of original. So you have devil food. We have devil clothes. We have devil environments. And you have devils as people. And that's why we're so messed up, because we continue to allow the people that don't need to be leading us in any form of fashion. We continue to put them out there as leaders in our own minds. My sister gave one example, Hidden Figures. But we could go down the list and talk for the rest of the month and never hang up this call talking about black people that are behind damn near everything on this planet of substance. So at the end of the day, I pray that anybody that's listening, if you don't understand everything we're saying, if you don't agree with everything we're saying, or you're ignorant to some of the things that we're saying, please leave this call tonight knowing that if your skin is brown, black, or red, you have to learn how to have more confidence in the God that you serve and know that your future is better if you find the right thing to follow, that which is giving you the type of results that you should be expecting.
Beautiful.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters, we've entered into the second hour of this week's program of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. It's currently 5:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank Dr. Akili Muhammad, Sister Dr. Tissa Muhammad, and Sister Chantel Muhammad for their sharing their experience, their intellectual and spiritual acumen. I mean, just listening, all I can do is just reiterate some of the references that have already been mentioned. Earlier on, Brother Dr. Akili mentioned the book Medical Apartheid, The Dark History of Medical Experimentation on Black Americans from Colonial Times to the Present. That book was published in 2008. You certainly can get that. Sister Dr. Tissa, when you mentioned Hidden Figures, it also cracked an atom with me, Dr. Akili. It made me think about Benjamin Banneker, who, after the blueprint of Washington, D.C. was stolen, he remembered by rote after reading it how to reconstruct Washington, D.C., and it's right in tune with, as you said, the African civilizations, where 16th Street in Washington, D.C., that is constructed as a diamond, when you go right down 16th Street, it splits the diamond and runs right into what they call the obelisk, or you might know it as the Washington Monument, and it's regulated on sunrise and sunset. So it just made me think about that. Dr. Keeley just bore witness. We can go on forever, for those of our people who have done things that they didn't get credit for. Not to mention George Washington Carver, what he did with the natural plants and what he did at Tuskegee Institute. So, Brother Rudolph, I don't know if this is the right audience, brother, but listening to these beautiful guests we have on today, it reminds me of when we were back in New York in the 90s, where some hip-hop artists said, from the crust of the earth, with his own hands, God created the black woman and man. But that was just the beginning of famous verse. For as long as the black family has walked the face of the earth, we've proved to possess ingenuity while making our mark in history, and that's black history, G. The story of my people means a lot to me. Where you came from shouldn't be a mystery. So listen up while we school you on some more of our history, black history. And then look, Sister Chantel, when you talked about that acupuncture and acupressure, also on YouTube, Brother Akili talked about the rage of the earth we should go to at our convenience to learn more
about what has been discussed. But Sister Chantel, when you talked about the Black Panthers, you can also go to YouTube, Is Death by Vice News. Dope Is Death by yes. Vice News, and it gives the history of what you were describing, our brothers in the Bronx and sisters in the Bronx that were able to rid our people of the heroin that was, you know, all in our communities at that time. So that's what comes to my mind. Thank you for allowing me to share the references. One more comes to mind, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan asked us to consider it as a tool, and that was Dianetics, for those who may or may not know, which is a modern science of mental health. Dia meaning through or mind or soul. And it's, according to the writer, simpler than physics or chemistry. It compares them with the exactness of its axioms and on a considerable higher echelon of usefulness. I don't know how many on the line are auditors, but that's just another viable alternative to help us heal our people in terms of remedy, in terms of therapy, in terms of treatment, and in terms of cure. So let me get out the way and let these subject matter experts share with us what Allah has blessed them to do. Brother Rudolph, I know you are just excited, as excited as I am. The floor is yours, sir. Well, I don't know if I can be heard, but if I can be heard, I think our guests have knocked Brother Rudolph out. Brother Rudolph, don't make me give you CPR, brother. Come back. Can I be heard, family?
Yes, sir. You probably need to do some pumps on his chest, bro.
Yeah. I don't know if it's 15-2 or 30-1. You know, it seems to change every now and then. But again, to our guests, we thank you. Let's start with the sisters, Sister Dr. Tissa and then Sister Chantel, and Brother Dr. Akili. You know, when you talk about this world of how you were trained in this Western world of medicine, what comes to my mind is that there's so many different prognosis, if you will, or diagnosis of what they tell us we're victims of, such as, you know, anxiety disorders, depression, bipolar disorder. Sister Dr. Tissa, you mentioned PTSD or syndrome, schizophrenia. Sister Chantel, you mentioned eating disorders, disruptive behavior, social disorders, neurodevelopment disorders. Now, to the layperson, if you're being told that and they give their definition of what it is, we really don't know what it really means. What's your take on that, Sister Dr. Tissa, of all these different types of prognosis? And of course, you know, let's just build on what you've already stated in terms of foundation, in terms of therapy, treatment, and the like. Dr. Tissa? Maybe she got cut off as well.
Okay, I'm back on, brother. Please, if you could ask it again. My phone was going in and out. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Can
yes,
I
sir.
Be? Okay.
I hear,
so
no,
what
you,
I was,
I'm sure you could hear. I was in a bad space. I was trying to hear you clearly. Yes, sir.
No, it's okay. As long as you can hear me. You
know, I
know
you spoke about
types.
The PTSD, and then you were talking about different – I didn't hear the full question because it went in and out.
Different prognoses that doctors may give us of this Western world, anxiety disorder,
yes.
social disorder, neurodevelopment yes. disorder, schizophrenia, eating, bipolar. You know, to the
yes.
layperson, we really don't know what that means unless they
Correct.
Describe it to us. And then because
right.
We don't know what it is, even when they describe it to us, it appears as though we're just victims of what they say is the way to
yes,
go
ma'am.
In terms of treatment. What's your thought
yes,
on
sir.
That, dear sister?
This is correct. Here's the first thing that they do. They hide the language. If you go and study
mm-hmm.
The making of a slave, it's very clear in The Making of a Slave and the Willie Lynch Letter, but specifically The Making of a Slave, that they cultivate things under a specific type of language. And they try mm-hmm. to attune us to a strange language in order for us to be able to be properly controlled. You see, if I don't comprehend something, then it puts me in a vulnerable position. When you study hypnosis, they tell you that if you can get a person to agree to four things, regardless of whether they know what those four things are, you actually take control of their mind, right? Mm. So the first thing is, if you give me language that I have no comprehension of, no comprehensible knowledge of, and you tell me a specific thing in Latin, right, the religion, mm-hmm. you look at the medicine, you look at the law, it's all in this foreign language. But you give mm-hmm. it to us, and we're not studying Latin in our school. I studied Latin when I was in my school, but I happened to go to a private school, you know, an all-girls school when I was growing up. But how many mm-hmm. of us had that? My father studied Latin when he was in the Caribbean. You see what I'm saying? How many of us mm-hmm. as a people have really studied Latin and the origin of language, which is why in the mm-hmm. teachings we're told to go to etymology and get into the origin of each word, break it all the way
down. That's right.
See, by getting into that, then we remove that lack of understanding, because if we lack knowledge of a thing, then there's no communication. Because communication mm-hmm. is done by three things. They talk about affinity, which has something to do with love. The second part is reality. And the third part is the actual communication. But if there's no love for me or a people, right, and you're giving them information, but you have no love for me, then there's no reality, because there's two Americas, according to what the messenger and the minister pointed out. So we're living in two different realities. Then where's the communication? So there's a communication gap, right? And we're taught about closing the gap by being able to break down the origin of these terms, right? We're not getting right. to the origin of these terms and getting to mm-hmm. that bottom of that. So what I want to mm-hmm. say to you is, at the end of the day, all of this terminology, it's a means of us being locked away from the true origin of the condition, which is our condition here in the wilderness of North America. Black men are unemployed not because they don't know how to work, but because they have been made unemployable by a system that tells them that they're inferior, right? They can go to university, they can get the best letters, the best knowledge and training, but they'll walk into a job and a person who has a lesser education, who's of a different color, will get that job over him or become his supervisor, his manager. And he has to work under him and be able to make his reality in terms of the wealth. And yet he goes home to another reality in the ghetto where he is financially unstable or does not have the means of taking care of his children and his wife. You understand what I'm saying? So
yes,
all of
ma'am.
These types of things, if the pressure we are under, one would ask, how could we not have a mental disorder? Post-traumatic slave mm-hmm. disorder makes us mentally unstable because we have also mitochondrial knowledge and information and memory. You may not know what a slave whip feels like today, but you can imagine it. And anytime you hear a certain sound, you jump to it because of the reality of where we live right now in real time. We're still dealing with the reality of things that are triggers, that are psychologically triggering us. We don't even know why we're so triggered. We go home to a family, a husband and a wife, and we can't have a real communication because our music is even programmed to make us think we got to argue or cheat or mistreat each other or call each other out of our proper names. We can't even properly respect and honor each other, you know, and have a real communication without feeling like this person's attacking me. All because we're so triggered by things that are done subconsciously in us, you see? Things that we might have experienced in the wombs of our mothers and grandmothers, you see? So what I have found in terms of this term and these terms and this type of protocols and all these different types of titles that they have given us for these conditions, every single one of those conditions, like our brother Dr. Keeley pointed out, is linked to living under a society of devils, straying from the origin of how we eat to live, moving away from a diet that gives us the support of the body, mind, spirit. Our gut is unhealthy. We have zip code wars. We have foods that come specifically to our neighborhood that have specific chemicals put in there. They may not have the full chemical in there. It's like the perm, right? The no-lie perm. You just have to mix the two together. And you got perm, right? You have the lie. but there's two things in two different boxes, or one box in two different containers. You put them together, and you got life. And that's the same thing they're doing. You buy your chips.
Ooh-wee.
You buy your $1 McDonald's meal, and each of them has specific chemicals in them. You may not know it, because in one box, that one chemical is not harmful. But when you combine that chemical with another chemical in your chips or in your bag or in your filet of fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a time bomb waiting to happen. And you're asking, how are they being poisoned, he says to you. Well, you're eating there's no poison in this. It doesn't. Come on, man. They're using chemical warfare on our people. Our babies go to school in these lunch programs, and all the foods that they're getting in the lunch program, you might as well feed them to the pigs. There's no nutritional value, like my sister Chantel just pointed out, in the foods that we're eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our mothers don't know how to cook, and even if they do, how can they? Because they're tired. By the time she gets off work, our fathers get off work, they don't have time to cook for you. They're exhausted because we get 15-minute breaks, we get a 30-minute lunch, and we're expected to stand on our feet all day long. You understand me? By the time you get home, you're so tired, you really don't have time. It's easy to pick up McDonald's or McDevils, really, and all these other meals, fast food, because it's the fastest way for me to feed my family because I don't even have time to cook for them. So, yes, sir, of course he would have a mental condition because there's a gut-mind connection, gut-brain connection. And if my gut doesn't have the proper flora, the proper balance of these 100 trillion, you know, microorganisms being properly nourished and fed and feeding me and helping with digestion and all of these things, how am I able to properly function mentally?
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Sister Dr. Tissa. Sister Chantel, would you like to add, and then Brother Dr. Akili afterwards?
Okay, that was, again, wonderful. Yes.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, we're talking about mental health. And we just have to thank Allah for the Nation of Islam, the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Within Nation of Islam, I don't know how many people know this, but within the Nation of Islam, our sisters, once we become pregnant and we hit 3 months of pregnancy, then we're home. We're on maternity leave until that baby is born and the baby is 3 months of age. And if she chooses, she can come back to the mosque. So within that time frame, she's not just staying away from the mosque. She's staying away from certain things that she watch on TV, certain environments that she's allowed to go to and not go to. So there's that protection of mother and baby from the time of conception, because repetition is real. You know, if I stopped watching the news many years ago, because just take someone that's watching the news every single day, 12 in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening, whenever you watch it, it's the same thing, that terror, and it's mostly black faces that's causing the terror that they're showing. So that right there alone can drive someone crazy. I literally met so many people that because of what they see on the news, or what they call news, they go to the store, they go to their job, then they go right back home, just based off of that repetition of what they've been feeding their minds from fake, you know, I don't want to say fake news, but, you know, what they call news. And also, she mentioned school. And in school today, public schools, you have the gay issue and the transgender and all this stuff. And the children are talking about they were born this way, you know, and we have people saying, well, no, God don't make mistakes, which is true. However, the things that mom is eating, one of them being soy, because soy is saturated in so much, that child may very well, its brain is a chemical imbalance now. going on. So a baby may do believe that, okay, this baby boy really believes that it's a girl, or the girl really believes that she should be a boy, based on the chemicals that the mother ate while she was pregnant. To me, maybe somebody can correct me, but people that think like that, I see that as a mental imbalance. I see that as a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And again, walking outside here in Chicago, and mainly all of Chicago now, but mostly in predominantly black neighborhoods, you see black faces in the middle of the day, carjacking, walking up to people with knives and guns in the middle of the day, middle of the sidewalk, doing these things. I mean, it's literally happening. They're not lying about that. That's real. So, mm-hmm. That causes a chemical imbalance. You know, somebody that has to live amongst that. Not only live, but you got to scrape up. I know in Chicago, you got a two-bedroom. You're paying $1,400, $1,500 per month. That's just for rent alone in a warm, mm-hmm. Written area. These things contribute to the mental breakdown of our people, from the the so-called food to things you watch on TV, the stuff that we listen to that they call music. All these things contribute to the breakdown of our minds. And just like you can see, you take a black woman, what they consider beautiful, you got the fake hair or the weave. A wig, so whatever they call it these days, makeup, mm-hmm. lashes, everything fake, going to the surgeons. That's a mental health imbalance.
So, I agree. No doubt about it.
So my question, I want to pose this to the audience. What kind of mentality is that for someone looking and acting other than themselves? How can we not agree that's a mental imbalance?
That's right.
That's right, dear sister.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you, Sister Chantel. Dr. Keeley, you want to expound on anything that you heard? And then the floor is yours, Brother Rudolph. You're back, brother. We were thinking about giving you CPR, brother, to make sure you came back.
No, I don't want to expound on anything.
Realize. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to expound on what my sister said, because they said it so completely and so beautifully, but I'll just say this. There was a time where the mental disorders were that black people wanted to escape slavery. And so if you as a black person, brown or red person, can think about how astronomically foolish that is, that a person had a mental problem because they wanted to be free of the horrific reality of slavery.
Think about it.
That is the foundation of the medical system of mental illness today. They have a book
correct.
Called the DSM-5, I believe it is now. And when you go through this thing, the reality of it, that is it is nothing but diagnoses that are about making money. I'll just use one quick example because I don't want to spend all day talking about it. But if you lose your mother dies, you're at the hospital watching your mother die. If you're sitting over there clapping and jumping up and hollering, screaming like everything is so beautiful, everybody would say this mucker is crazy, right? Just like
mm-hmm.
if you are in some situation where you have some great idea and you're going to produce something to help the general public, and somebody writes you a $30 million check, and you're over in the corner crying, acting like you're depressed. That would be foolish. That would be backwards. But the reality is that if you do lose your mother and you hadn't come to a conclusion on everything within you and her reality, and you were happy about it, or you were content with the life that you had with her, then it would make sense that you could be depressed That's not a diagnosis that we should be giving. That is a state that you're in that needs to be corrected, that needs to be worked on, that needs to be improved. No different than if you bought a brand new car and one of the lights come on. You wouldn't say the car is garbage. You'd be like, okay, there's something in this car that needs to be switched. There's something in this car that needs to be adjusted. There's something in this car that needs to be maybe improved so that the functioning gets back right. That's the kind of language that we should start using within our own heads so we don't get caught up in this foolishness out here. And then I'll add this part with what Sister Chantel was mentioning, that here it is that the LGBTQ plus community, which the minister has showed us that we don't have to disrespect them. We can respect them. And if we knew more about how they wind up like that, we wouldn't have nothing but respect for them because it's not their fault. The brain is the first thing that's produced when a mother is pregnant. The first few days, the body is starting to work on the brain. The human sexual differentiation is occurring in that early stage. It happens around, I think it's around week 13, 12 or 13, something like that, where the baby is now being differentiated into male or female. Allah doesn't make any mistakes. That is not something where there can be a mistake. Now, the problem comes in that in the last trimester, the end of the second trimester and the last trimester, that's when the mental aspects and the psychological aspects of sex start to develop. And so when my sister is giving the scientific reality of how soy and certain type of movies and being in certain environments and being angry at a man because he didn't treat you correctly, angry at a man because he's not even still with you and you haven't even delivered this baby yet, those things affect that child. And when we start looking at all the gender bender chemicals that are in food, that are in plastic, that are in lotions, that are in shampoos, that are in this makeup that sisters are putting on, in the shaving cream that men are using, in the stuff that you put in your hair, when we start looking at all these different things that can affect a child's mind in the late last part of the second trimester and the third trimester, I actually am sure that a child can be born thinking they're gay or thinking that their sex is in the wrong body. Yes, these things are possible, but it goes right back to the mind that produced the reality that this could happen. God didn't do that, and we can never put that on God. You can't find nowhere in God's reality. In no other aspect of nature can you find homosexuality and transgender. So that proves within itself that it has to be something that humans are producing. So at the end of the day, we don't knock them. But that reality is another example of the devil of this world and what his results wind up looking like.
Brother, Dr. Healy, a brother made a good point. Drapetomania is what they refer to that, brother, Dr. Healy. That whole concept of it being deemed a mental illness, because they said that slavery was so good for black people that you fleeing away from it, you would have to have been crazy. There's also other things that they placed in the law. They said you could never rape a black woman because black women welcomed it. They invited it because of the nature that we have. Do you see what I'm saying? So even today in 2024, you'll see black women getting raped, and they are still being treated the same way they were in slavery. They're being blamed for that. And in our community, we do the same thing. Black girls, young girls being raped, molested, they get blamed because according to those particular laws, during slavery that gave access to raping black women and not making it, putting it in a place where it was any kind of breaking of a law, they allowed this to happen. So, of course, as our doctor, Brother Dr. Keeley pointed out, you know, you're looking at the history of this thing of mental illness. It exists in our communities because all of these things being done to us have been deemed to be okay. So when you struggle and you suffer and you have the audacity to speak against it and act like you're upset about being raped or act like you're upset about being heavily ignored or unemployed or put into a very bad situation, you know, look at the news. You'll see a man coming home offing their girlfriends on social media, And it's like, oh, he's a hardened criminal. But when I look at that, I said, that's mental illness. So why is it that when we do it, it's not? It's considered, well, we're going to try him as an adult, even though they know he was smoking marijuana, and we know what's in this marijuana today, right? All these mental disruptors and things that they're using to throw off our chemical balance in our brains that are already chemically heavily imbalanced based on our diet in our communities. They go and they give themselves the pass, and then they take our babies and try them as adults, when at the end of the day, it's all mental illness, you know. But I just wanted to say that and add that. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Dr. Tissa. Thank you, Dr. Akili. Brother Rudolph? No telling. Brother Rudolph might be in the emergency room as we speak. But I'm glad brought that up, Sister Dr. Tissa, in terms of sexual abuse manifestations from the enslavement process to as we speak today. I remember working with Sister Dr. Nana Patricia Newton of the Black Psychiatrists of America, who had her office and her work in the city of Baltimore. And before she transitioned a few years back, may Allah be pleased with her, the data that she had that she shared with everybody was that in terms of from office-based psychiatry practice in Baltimore City conducted on 5,800 patients from 2005 through 2010 showed that 9.2 out of every 10 women and 6.8 of every 10 men coming for psychiatric care, regardless of diagnosis, reported that they had been sexually molested as children. And so it just bears witness to the point that had been made in terms of, you know, from the enslavement process to now, you know, it's you can rarely see a difference. You know, what was that aspect of the Willie Lynch letter you talked about, Sister Dr. Tissa? What was it called?
The Making of a Slave. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
the minister told us in the MPC to study this extensively. He advised us. You know, all these male-female arguments that we're seeing on social media, I don't get myself involved in them because, first of all, it's disgusting to see black women. We should never have a problem with the black man. Let's just face it. You know, there's no reason for us to even begin to look at the feminazi movement because that was never our nature. Black men don't stop us from rising. We just have to get to the bottom of that. That's not our problem.
That's
historically,
right.
The only woman who's been kept from really truly rising, they're definitely the black woman. You know, but here in the wilderness of North America, white women have been very oppressed. So they have a right to be part of and to create a feminist movement, and I absolutely support them. But our history doesn't tell me that black men have ever been my enemy. I don't have that history, you know. I watched my mother climb to the highest level of her educational pursuits, and my father was right there, hook, line, sinker, helping him to make sure she got it together. She traveled all over the world, and my father was our babysitter. He was taking care of us the whole time my mother was traveling up and down Europe, helping to put together books that she never got credit for. You know, in education.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the world we live in. I understand and recognize it. But at the end of the day, brother, like I said, the beauty of it right now through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it gives us a specific type of balance on how we, our nature as women and the nature of men. So we should never find any issue. But if you look in the Willie Lynch letter and you study extensively the making of a slave, family, go back and study that. It will answer all of the debates that we waste time on. You know, instead of giving the people the foundation they need, we're debating about black men. And listen, you could put all these arguments and settle them if you study the making of a slave and see the main points that they wanted to put out there. Someone is using us as tools and slaves to keep this divisiveness, you know, amongst ourselves. We are not the enemies of each other. We are together.
That's right.
We will bring together the healing of our communities and our families. But we must first purge ourselves of these concepts that they've embedded in us deliberately and on purpose. Thank you, brother. I want to touch on that.
No, that's beautiful. You know, as I just go back to when you talked about hypnosis and the four things they want to get you to agree to, the flip side of it is there's a pioneer here in Norfolk, Virginia, whose brother, may Allah be pleased with him, his oldest brother, used to have the skill to put people under hypnosis. And he said when he used to do white people, he used to make them act as dogs on purpose, as you could believe. So, listening to the technology of what this devil has done to our people, listening to the three of you reminded me of the 85% in our supreme wisdom, poison animal eaters. Easy to lead in the wrong direction, hard to lead in the right direction. And then whether it's the vaccines or just, again, the technology. There was a poet by the name of Gil Scott Heron who had this poem about the Tuskegee experiment. He called it Tuskegee 626, Scientists Getting Their Kicks, where brothers you dig are guinea pigs for vicious experiments. So we all agreed of the chemical warfare that's going on. Sister Chantel is warning us, stay away from MacDevils and MacDeath, Murder King and Taco Hell. We all agree, stay away from that crap. And then, Dr. Keeley, your beautiful analysis, as we were taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan about not changing Allah's reality, reminded me of the Surah and Ayat, I believe it's Surah or chapter 30, Ayat or verse 30, where it says, set your face toward religion, the nature in which man and woman were created by Allah. Then it goes on to say, and there is no altering Allah's creation. It is the best religion, but most men know not. So, again, we are at 5:42 p.m. Brother Rudolph, have you come back, beloved? I certainly wanted to give him an opportunity to, close out. But as we come to the close, again, I could never thank the three of you enough for coming. This is an instant classic, in my humble opinion, of disaster awareness for community preparedness. We want to thank Black Hole Radio, LLC, for monitoring the boards. We want to thank our listeners. But we want to, before we close out, brothers and sisters, give our guests an opportunity not only to make closing statements, if it be their will, but, it's critically important. I know, Dr. Keeley, you are affiliated, with the Ultimate Wellness Health Group, and Sister Dr. Tisha, you spoke of the Phoenix Rising Institute, and I know our dear sister, we know our dear sister, Sister Chantel, does what she does so beautifully with the Ministry of Health and Human Services of the Nation of Islam and her own business as well. So we want to give our listening audience an opportunity to get your particulars, if they want to further get information from you or use your services, because, again, we can describe the problems. We can offer over this 2 hours and to be continued, inshallah, Lord willing. But I think it's critically important that we offer whatever health systems or social support that our listening audience should consider. Of course, the Nation of Islam has already been mentioned. But let's go with the same process of guest speakers, Sister Dr. Tissa, Sister Chantel, and Brother Dr. Akili, to offer what it is you offer with your own business and the health systems or social support that our listening audience should consider.
Where do you want to begin?
with you, Dr. Tissa. Again, can they contact you in any way? You have a website for the Phoenix Rising Institute.
Yes, sir. My company is called the Phoenix Rising Wellness Institute, and I first want to first begin by thanking you, brother and brother Rudolph, for having me on. And my greatest apologies for not being on sooner. I love the conversation. It's absolutely beautiful. So thank you for that.
All praise is due to Allah.
Yes,
we thank you.
Thank you.
Good. He's back. Praise be to Allah. And I'm so thankful, Brother Rudolph. I've known you for eons, and your wife, absolutely, eons and eons of time.
Yes, ma'am.
And I thank you for this that you are doing. I think it is a tremendous work. So thank you so much for having me and having my brother and sister on as well, because, you know, the beauty of the teachings allows us to not just be, but to become into gods and to actually manifest specific types of insights based on the talents and gifts he has given us, you know, through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So it expands our minds and our breasts and our hearts beyond what we have been given in school or in other trainings into that teaching. That's the foundation that magnifies everything. So I thank Allah for this teaching and for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the coming of Master Farad Muhammad and through the whole light and star of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in our midst today. And I wanted to say, so my company is called the Phoenix Rising Wellness Institute. Very simple. It's an acronym, APRWI.com. And I look forward, you know, to speaking to anybody and having an opportunity to work with you in various ailments. You know, I've been in medicine for quite some time, and I thank Allah for the insights. The foundation that I lay everything on is teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and therein lies my success. So once again, APRWI.com, a Phoenix Rising Wellness Institute. And thank you so much, once again, family, for your time and patience with me and with us in this subject matter. And I pray that Allah will take all of us and allow us to rise and shine and live in the divine light of truth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sister Chantel?
Yes, sir. Okay, I can be reached at organicallybalanced@gmail.com. That's O-R-G. ANICALLYBALANCED @gmail.com and also on Facebook at Chantel Muhammad, SHAWNTELL Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, dear sister. Praise be to Allah. Dr. Keeley?
Yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for the work that you do, and it's an honor to be on your show. I pray that we gave the listening audience some tools that they can use to get in touch with me. You can use my website, theultimatewellnessgroup.com. Again, theultimatewellnessgroup.com. All my social media handles, as well as your ability to get in touch with me, is on there. And I pray that we all can grow into confident future God that will allow us to make it through this dispensation that we're in now so that we can be a part of building a new world. So, again, thank you, my brothers.
Thank you, brother.
Floor is yours, Brother Rudolph.
Man, praise be to Allah, brother. So much was said this week, you know. We haven't even scratched the surface of the question and the bountiful answers that will come from it. We just hit one side, so you know, we'll take it. We'll take that diet, nutrition, food. The food we're eating plays a big part in our mental health or mental illness, based on the nutrition that we're not getting or the poisons that we are getting. So that's just one side to it. There's a whole nother side to this,
which we won't be able to touch this week, unfortunately, Brother Yusuf. So, of course, you know what that means. That means next week, brother, next week, we will deal with auditing, counseling, and other therapies that may help bring one into wellness or wholeness from what is loosely termed as insane in the membrane, as the song says, Brother Yusuf. You know, I couldn't resist that one.
All praise is due to Allah.
Look, you know how we do the musical
yes, sir,
soundtrack
brother.
Of our life, brother. You know?
You better
you
act
know,
like you know.
Man, brother, you know, the ball of confusion is playing loudly in my head
wow.
right now, you know, from the Temptations and understanding the words of the song that was written back then, but looking at how it's playing out now. So, you know, nothing has changed but the day on the calendar. You know, just the faces have changed, but the game is still the same. So we have a lot of work to do, but the answer, the overall overwhelming answer for us is we must do for self or suffer the consequences.
Or suffer the consequences.
Brother Yusuf.
That's right.
Yes, sir, Brother Yusuf.
Praise be to Allah. Well, too, I want to just continue to thank our guests today, Dr. Akili Muhammad, Dr. Tissa Muhammad, Sister Chantel Muhammad. Oh, so beautiful. I mentioned it earlier, Brother Rudolph, and I agree with you. If time and circumstance permits, we would love to have them back at their convenience, knowing that
yes,
they
sir.
Have quite the busy schedule. And so
right.
how are you going to bring up a ball of confusion without me at least trying to go into the, you know, Rolodex of my mind to say that, as Brother Dr. Keeley said, we're in the judgment. So in about the 1960s, the Temptation said eve of destruction, tax deduction, city inspectors, bill collectors, mod clothes in demand, population out of hand, suicide, too many bills, hippies moving to the hills, people all over the world are shouting in the war, and the band played on. And so until we meet again, brothers and sisters, stay away from that crap as an acronym, as our dear brother Barry used to say. C-R-A-P, stay away from that crap. C meaning caffeine and carbonated drinks. R standing for refined sugar, standing for alcohol. And P standing for processed food, meats, and the like. So again, we're at 5:53. Our guests are still on. We don't believe in wasting time as Muslims. So if anybody else wants to, you know, make a closing statement, ask a question, you know, we're taught ask questions and learn all about yourself. So I'm going to fall back, Brother Rudolph, until we officially close out and ask any of our guests if they would like to make any closing statement in the few minutes we have left.
Maybe somebody could talk about the benefits of fasting really quickly so that the family can understand why we advocate fasting.
I guess in terms of a quick one, and I don't want to take over space, and also Sister Chantel and our brother Dr. Healy would want to share. I just want to state in terms of fasting, just talking about the benefits of fasting, it has been shown that within 72 hours of not eating, we have these dormant fetal cells, these fetal stem cells that are dormantly placed in our spines. And they state that within 72 hours of fasting, you allow those to become awakened, activated, and they start to become differentiated where they are needed. So this ability for us to be fasting in the manner in which we are fasting is giving our body the ability to rest and to repair itself. That is not necessarily given in our society. I want to remind us that this so-called hunger pain that we like to boast about that we have, it does not exist. It's actually more thirst
driven, it's thirst pain. We've identified what we call hunger pain, which is really thirst pain. It's linked to dehydration, lots of issues with not taking in enough fluids. So the beauty I find within this month of Ramadan is that we have the ability to be able to properly hydrate ourselves in the morning. Don't have to stuff yourself with all this food. Actually just take in a lot of, you know, water, fluids, good water. Make sure it's not just sink water, but things that are coming from a very filtered, fresh place based on where we live right now, you know, spring water, living water in your body, and take in enough of it not to overdo it where your stomach is hurting. Take enough where you're satisfied, and you should find yourself very satisfied and happy and properly hydrated throughout the day to be able to properly manage the fast of Ramadan. Of course, focusing our minds on that which is good for our people will bring you through, inshallah, with a successful fast. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr.
Go ahead, my brother.
No, please do. Add, big brother. Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what my sister Tisa said. To my understanding, the body starts to make those stem cells approximately 18 to 24 hours after you fast. So depending on what you ate in your last meal before you begin your fast determines the early or the late start of producing stem cells. So the difference in everyday life when you are eating every day, which your body can repair, the difference when you are fasting is, as my sister said, you are producing cells that are brand new, like when a mother is creating a baby in her womb. So we're not talking about repair. We're talking about regeneration. We're talking about being renewed.
Come on.
And if we understand the human body and how it works together as one, if there's anything wrong with your mental health, it is because there are some cells and some connections in your brain that have either been damaged, destroyed, or just weren't prepared correctly. So believe me, fasting will help any problem in the human body, especially the way we think. And so, yes, we have to start considering as a people, because we're very emotional, and a lot of times we don't go to the scientific backing of things, but you have to understand that a good fast will help improve your mind, no matter what the problem that is going on.
Boom.
Thank you, Dr. Achilles. Sister Chantel, are you still on?
I am, but nothing for me to add. Thank you.
Thank you, dear sister. Oh, praise is due to Allah. For those who read the Holy Quran, you can go to Surah 2, Ayat, or verse 183, where it reads, "In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may guard against evil." Well, Brother Rudolph, you can close us out, big brother. We got 2 minutes left, and I'm just eternally grateful that you will allow me to be your co-host, soldier. May Allah bless everyone and their families with success until we meet again, inshallah, next week. Watch the weather, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. Dr. Keeley, they got a tornado warning in Mississippi as we speak. So go ahead, Brother Rudolph.
Yes,
I've said enough and maybe too much. Go ahead, black man. Love you. Love you. Love you.
Love you too, Brother Yusuf. Love everybody that was on this line, everybody that was listening that maybe could not get on. We apologize if, you know, you feel overlooked. It was not our intention. Blame it on technology, okay? But we'll try again next week if it be the will of Allah and if we are still on this side of life next week. Same time, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell someone, don't come alone. Bring someone on the line with you. As Brother Yusuf read that ayat from the Quran talking about fasting is prescribed for you. Well, remember, the ultimate doctor, the ultimate physician is writing the prescription for your and my health. and fasting is at the top of that prescription. And then there's another piece of it in there, said that there's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There's a balm, B-A-L-M, in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Well, a balm is a salve. It's like an ointment that you rub on to something that has healing properties, medicinal properties, that it can extract poison and it can administer the nutrients into a wound in order to cause proper healing. So let's get that proper healing that comes right from the physician who created life, at least our lives, and let's help each one to try and live a better life in the face of everything that we are going through right now, taking it one day at a time, trying to solve one problem at a time. And just remember, an attitude of gratitude goes a long way.
That's right.
Thank you for listening this week, and we love you. Family, you know how to reach us if you need us. If you need any of these stuff, you can go on and listen to the rebroadcast of these weeks. If you need to reach myself, Brother Yusuf, well, you contact Black Hole Radio, spelled W-H-O-L-E. Brother Forrest, Sister Yvette, Brother Jason, they can get you in touch with any of us at any given time. We thank you. We love you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yeah.